This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
Coming back to what was said, that the minister of the gospel is to earn his living from the gospel. Agreed?
Yes.
We saw it from scriptures. It is not to say that the minister of the gospel will should starve, wear rags, and live under the basement, not the basement, under the, when you have raised the foundation up, that place down there where snakes and lizards live. They have not said that that's where he should live. You people are supposed to go and be, you know, you work to some job where you are supposed to. Pesco. Cross space, good. The minister of the gospel is not to live in the cross space and be rolling with snakes in the name of Jesus. The minister of the gospel is to live like the rest of the people he's ministering to. If he is ministering to people who eat rats, he will become a rat eater. If he ministers to people who eat lizards, that's what he's to eat. If he lives, ministers to people who work on food, he's to work on food. If he lives, if he's ministers to people who go on bicycle, he too should have his own bicycle. If he minister to people who go on scooters, he should have his own scooter. If he ministers to people who drive two-door cars, the famous Volkswagen of old, he too should have his pastoral Volkswagen. If he ministers to people who drive Ford cars, Toyotas, Datsuns, he too must. If they come zim, 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 to church, he too must come zim, 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 to church. If they live in modern apartments, he must live in a modern apartment. If they live in bungalows, he too must live in a bungalow. If they wear three-piece suits, he must wear three-piece suits. If they wear wrappers, he must wear wrappers. There must be no way of distinguishing him from the people. Because, listen, Brian, Jesus Christ did not wear something outrageous. Jesus would have just said that, come and look for the man who dresses strangely and catch him. He was so much like the rest of them that he needed Judas to go and kiss him before they would know whom to arrest. Then he said, the one whose hair is cut in some strange fashion and who wears some tuxedo suit. He was just described that way and they will come arrest him. He was just like the rest of the disciples. That Judas had to go and kiss him for them to know whom to arrest. Now, how is that to happen? He who is instructed in the word shall share all good things with his... No, must share all good things with his instructor. Did we read it? We did not read that? Oh, yeah. No. Oh, we have missed it. Galatians 6, 6 to 10. Thank God. Thank you, Sister. Because... I would have already given half of the message on this issue. Galatians 6, 6 to 10. New International Version.
Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor.
Must. Everyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. When he goes and buys a message for himself, he must buy a message for his instructor. He goes to the shop and sees a three-piece suit that will make him look important. He buys one for his instructor. He goes to a shop and sees some dress for his wife. He says, I would like to see my beloved in this dress. Then he says, the instructor's wife must also like to be in this dress. So he buys one for his wife and buys one for the instructor's wife. He sees a good school where he would like his children to be educated. He says, yeah, I want first class education for my children. Then he also enrolls the instructor's children in the same school so that the instructor's children also get the best education. Everyone who is instructed in the word must share all good things. All. Not some good things. Don't write long letters and say, I'm writing long letters of encouragement. Is it letters they eat? Take a sheet and write and quote all the Bible verses. The instructor has no Bible. Maybe you are telling him that he doesn't read the Bible. Therefore, he should read this new Bible that we have written. Everyone who receives instruction in the word, wipe the board, please, must share all good things with his. Everyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. It does not say must. It does not say may. Say must. Must. Say must share all good things with his instructor.
Must share all good things with his instructor.
Do your people share all good things with you? Have you taught them?
Not yet.
That's why your numbers are small. Because you are disobeying a central scripture on the issue. That is the instructor and that is the instructed. The instructor sows the word. The instructed sow all good things. The instructor sows the word. The instructed sow all good things. And everyone is happy. Everyone is giving and everyone is receiving. When some gentleman decides that he will only benefit alone, through religious pride, he says, I alone will receive a blessing. I will give. I will keep giving. I will keep giving. I will keep giving. I will not receive. I will not even teach them that they should give. His message becomes spears that shook the people and killed them. He has turned into a killer. And afterward, the people will reject his message. They have died from it. Imagine. You just, you're giving it. One day you just give and die. And all the people are receiving. No, they'll die. They give. they receive. Then they leave. That's the scriptures. And it cannot be broken. And it cannot be broken. And it cannot be broken. Those who do not give to instruction soon harden their hearts against him. Because the word he gives, it's like there's impression, but there's no expression. It leads to death. Impressions without expression lead to death. Those who do not give to the instructor soon turn away from his message. They sit there and they are choked by this receiving and receiving. They die there, their corpses. His word cannot profit them anymore. God has commanded that those who preach the gospel should earn their living from the gospel. God has commanded. That command is just as strong as the command, thou shalt not commit adultery. So when the instructor said, well, I will go and work for my own bread so as to spare my people, he has also saved them from receiving his message. Because you belong to the one to whom you give. You belong to the one to whom you give. The one to whom your hands are paralyzed, so you don't give to, there's no relationship. When you find out ultimately, those who belong to you in the ministry are those who give to you. I know people have abused this, but we cannot correct abuses by removing it from the scriptures. We obey. It does not say that those who receive instruction from instructors who are poor should give to the instructor. The instructor may be fabulously rich. You give to him because he's instructor. The instructor may be earning his salary from anywhere. He may be earning money from anywhere. You give to him because the Bible says he who receives instruction. The only question is, do I receive instruction from him? If you receive instruction from him, you are under obligation. Must. If you don't do that, you have decided to be a violator of the word. Where do you find the hardest epistles of Paul? Corinthians. You know why? He refused to receive the gifts. First Corinthians 9, verse 14. In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. Verse 15, but I have not used any of these rights. And I'm not writing this in the hope that you will do such things for me. I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of this boast. This boast. This is the first time Paul is talking about dying not for Christ, but dying to keep his boast. All his other deaths were for Christ. But this one is, I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of this boast. Brother, when I studied that, but I have not used any of these rights, and I am not writing this in the hope that you will do something for me. I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of this boast. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach it voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the charge committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, not making use of my right. I. This is a concentration of I, just to escape receiving gifts. No wonder. Oh, there was unceasing war between him and the Corinthians. Unceasing war between him and the Corinthians. The Philippians, they send him gifts again and again and again and again. The sweetest of Paul's letters. Because when he opened his heart to receive from them, he also opened his heart to flow to them. And he was bonding at the deepest level. And the scriptures cannot be broken. And you cannot improve on the scriptures. God has ordained that those who preach the gospel should earn their living from the gospel. That is what is in the blueprint in heaven. Every other blueprint is counterfeit. That is what is in the blueprint in heaven. Every other blueprint is counterfeit. That is how God intended that the gospel will go to all the nations. That those who receive instruction in the word would share all things with his instructor, with the instructor. So wherever there's an instructor and they're instructed, the needs of the instructor will be met. So that he lives at the same level economically, socially, financially, with those he instructs. The instructor comes, instructs, then he says, go in peace. May God protect you. May oxygen become your bread. And may the clouds be the plane in which you fly back. Everyone who receives instructions in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Listen, this is my 21st trip to the United States. In the early days, I came and one time I spent 7 weeks. Another time I spent 6 weeks. What I've received from America for our ministry is shockingly poor in those 20 trips. What I've received as Galatians 6:6 is undiscussably shocking. I think they think there is some spirit preaching. But we have listen, Brian. For those of you who know Cameroon money, we spent what came in last year was 650 million into headquarters. 50% came from the city of Yaoundé. 50% of that from the city of Yaoundé. Then the next 30% came from the nation of Cameroon. So 80% of the money we spent for the 54 nations and everything, 80% came from Cameroon. Sixteen percent came from Africa, where our missionaries are. So 96% came from Africa. 4% came from the rest of the world. There's a blindness here about money that is shocking. There's a greed. It's a greed. You know, Ivory Coast has had an unstable political situation. When I went to a convention in Ivory Coast, I told about HIV people being healed, new teeth appearing. I came back with 24 million. That was their contribution that time for the ministry. 24 million. America rich, Europe richer, Africa richest. Listen, Brian. Burundi is the third to the poorest nation. After Burundi, there are only two nations in the world scale of poverty. They build their hall, an amphitheater. Beautifully built, because they have taste. It cost them $25 million. We always send $1 million to them just to be part of the project from headquarters. After that, when I went the next year, they had put up a 3-floor building by the sides of the hall. The ground floor is for offices. The next floor is for retreats. The third floor is the home of the missionaries. From the third to the poorest nation in the world. When the missionary first got there, the day that he landed there, the bombs fell on the city. They were at war. In the last 5 years, there's no day they send less than $10,000 to the International Missionary Fund. They have their national missionary movement. They have sent a missionary to Tanzania, to west of Tanzania. They have sent a missionary to the east of the Democratic Republic, and they have missions all over their country, supported from the third to the poorest nation in the world. I understand this fact that what is put in this country in foreign missions is less than what is spent on dogs and cats. According to a document that Rita Himes gave me, maybe things have changed now. Excuse me, Brennan. Every 10 Americans ought to support a full-time missionary by 10% of their income to live like the other 9. If we are 10 and we give our tithes and offerings, 10% plus, not 3% plus. Another person will live like us and give his time wholly to the gospel. So a church of 10 members should have one full-time missionary. A church of 20 members should have 2 missionaries. A church of 100 members should have 10 full-time missionaries who just live on the tithes of the others and will live at the same level with them. Why is it not so? There's a problem. people buy and buy and buy and buy and choke themselves and choke themselves and choke themselves and choke themselves. There are few that give, but there are too few to make, to hit the top. God's purpose was for the whole church to give. The Galatians 6:6 is to be received not from a few people, but from all who are instructed in the word. I was talking about the Ivory Coast situation. When a missionary went there, a missionary couple went there, the first mission couple, after 18 months, they wrote to us, don't send money anymore. The missionary is now our responsibility. After 18 months, his Galatians 6:6 was enough to keep him. And we have never sent any money there in the last 10 years. But they are paid for all our flights, for everything we've done there, was given to the ministry. At the moment, they're buying 28 hectares of land near the airport as the headquarters of Ivory Coast Ministry. Is going to cost them $130 million. They hope to put the hall for 25,000 people there, plus other structures. I pray that scales will fall from your eyes. When a brother drives from one part of the country to yours to come and preach, you say, hallelujah, brother, welcome. You think that he opened the tap in his house and put it in his tank and drove because God of miracle converts water into petrol. He came to bring instruction. He must receive. Not just his expenses, but the abundance. So that he too may give abundantly to the Lord. So that he will not long for a job. You know how to give big sums to God. Everyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with the instructor. The tithe is not for the instructor. There are some pastors who make the tithe their private bank. Watch such dangerous men. What is given as Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, 7, and 8, that is the pastor's private money. That's saying we are receiving instruction from the word. We are your instructed ones.
Father, we thank you for what you are speaking to us. Lord, I pray that you have mercy on us, Lord. Lord, when I hear about the stories of our brethren in Cameroon and in Africa, what they do for the work, how they give, Lord. Father, I plead for mercy. That this day, Lord, we will repent. We will repent, O God, living in the richest nation on earth. Yet, Lord, we are among the 4% that give to your work. Oh God, we could give more. We can give more. We can give more. Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, oh God. Have mercy on us, Lord. And set your people free from greed. That we will not just be, Lord, be caught up with the greed in the land. But Lord, will be different from this day. Father, may this day be a day of deliverance. A day of deliverance, oh God. And grant that each one of us, oh God, will receive this message and that it will change our life. It will change our living. It will change our churches, Lord. Father, no doubt, for some time we have not grown. Just struggling, Lord. Our numbers are, dwindling and struggling. Father, Lord, it's because of our attitude. It's because of our attitude in giving to you, in giving to your servant, oh God. Forgive us. Have mercy, Lord. And grant that, Lord, each one of us will obey you, that we will obey the word. As it says, Lord, we will obey the word. Grant that, Lord, will no more be among the 4%, Lord. Our giving will rise and rise, Lord. Our giving will rise and rise. You have mercy on us that our giving will rise and rise, Lord. That we'll give to the work. We'll give for the conquest of the world for you, Lord. Living in the richest nation, may we make use of what we have, Lord, to win the world for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've taught some of you for 30 years. 25 years, 20 years, 15 years, 10 years, 5 years, 3 years, 2 years. Some of you have been as stingy as the person with a doctorate in stingy from Stingy University. PhD, subject stingy. Economic stinginess. Dr. Stingy. When a message comes like this, it's like a smosh, it's like an electric current. It touches you, you drop a cent. What's the smallest unit? Drop a cent. Then you close it again. But now a message will come. It shocks you, you drop a cent again. Let me tell you something about Sister Esther. Sister Esther Kwana is the most phenomenal woman, perhaps, of our generation. She started fasting late because she believed late. But she's at the moment doing her 34th 40-day fast. She has done 33 40-day fast. She's currently on the 34th 40-day fast of her life. Fast of 35 days are not counted, 20, 21 days and so forth. But all are documented. Last year she prayed over 15 hours a day. She's in charge of the World Conquest Prayer Center. She's She goes to town once a week because she's in charge of my private mail. So she goes to open my private mail box. She goes out of Thursday once a week. She worked in the government at various positions, executive positions. Last year, they prayed for over 23,000 hours in the World Conquest Prayer Center. For many years, she slept on a mat. She got her bed folded and packed it. Then one day I went to her room. I said, "Where is the bed?" She said, "If I lie on the bed, I need 4 hours of sleep. If I lie on the mat, 2 hours are enough." I forced her to put off the bed. She put off the bed, but she sleeps on the mat. Many of you receive letters. Of course, we receive letters for the trips that are outside Cameroon. But on Monday, I'm preaching in some place in Cameroon. On Wednesday, I'm preaching in some place in Cameroon. On Tuesday, I'm preaching in Yaoundé. Sometime on Monday. There's a prayer letter put up for each of those trips and distributed to over 375 localities. Who receives the mail from her? And if you want to receive letters, prayer letters from her regularly, if you give me your email, I'll give her and you go on it. Provided you receive the letters and pray. If you give me your email letter, your name and email address, you will be put on the information sheet. About 25 years ago, she said to God, "Lord, woe is me if Brazak fails in your call on his life." She started praying for me 1 hour a day. Then she went to 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day. When she got to 13 hours a day, she could not continue to pray and go to work. She needed to work for another 20 months, another 22 months, thereabout, and she will go on retirement and have her pension the rest of her life. But continuing to go to work would have meant that the World Conquest Prayer Center fails. Because she's there every day. If someone is not here who should be there, she looks for someone to replace the person at the prayer. Because there are two prayer chains. Since I left Yaoundé, they are praying for me every minute since I left until I get back. Is that prayer chain for Zakfomum outside Yaoundé? There's another prayer chain that goes on for Zakfomum in Yaoundé nonstop. So she said, "Okay, I can work for another 22 months and have my retirement." But it would mean that things drop at the World Conquest Prayer Center. Because it would mean going to work 8 hours a day, 2 hours to go, 10 hours, it would not work. She decided to resign. She has a master's in economics. But she does not function by economics. So she resigned and lost her retirement benefit 100%. Because she did not want to risk a drop in the World Conquest Prayer Center praying in order to guarantee a retirement allowance. Some of you receive the prayer letters, you don't pray for her, and you send her nothing. Every day you receive them. You think that they are falling from some plane that is circulating around planet Earth, by satellite. You sent her nothing. You put no prayer into her. How can you not think? How can you not think? Think. Such women deserve great honor. Not with the lips. There's the book there, Women of the Glory, Volume 1. Is there, let me have a copy. This book surpasses all the books I've written in depth. The Secluded Worshipper, The Life, Ministry, and Glorification of the Prophetess and It's a book on prayer and fasting. She lived in the temple and prayed and fasted for 84 years. Could it have been possible if there were no people who gave so that she would have to eat? Some people certainly invested their money into her to make her ministry possible.